Lincoln.com.
Good morning, America. How are you? Say, don't you know me? I'm your native son.
And now, from studios on the campus of the University of Common Sense in the Big Easy, the professor of thinkology and a man dedicated to truth and common sense. America, class is in session right here, right now, with your host, Jim Brown.
Hey, welcome to the second hour of our Common Sense Show. Lively show today. Sure glad you're spending some time with us wherever you happen to live. I said earlier in the show that we're going to talk about a new book out that I found fascinating. A lot of government officials, the big shots in Washington, the guys that run the government, the secretaries, and the, you know, even some of the presidents, they kind of come and go. Few may make a long-term impact and have a view of the world that transpired from, say, World War II up to the present time. Michael Blumenthal was the Secretary of the Treasury. What a timely time to have him on the show with government shutdowns. He was the Secretary under Jimmy Carter. He's written a great new book called From Exile to Washington, A Memoir of Leadership in the 20th Century, which we certainly have a lot of lack of right now. The book's on our website at www.jimbrownusa.com. And we're very pleased to have Secretary Blumenthal join us here right now. Good morning there, Mr. Secretary.
Good morning, Jim. Nice to talk to you.
Well, glad to have you on the show. And I want to talk about the book. There's so many aspects of it, but I wish you would comment. We're talking about, in a matter of days, a potential government default on the debts. That bothers me just as someone who's got a little stock in the stock market. I mean, there are some really strong ramifications about that. How much damage do you think would happen to our economy and to this country if we just defaulted on our bills that are owed worldwide?
Well, you know, this has never happened before. We have never defaulted on our debt. The full faith and credit of the United States is the most valuable asset that we have. And the consequences, on the one hand, are really impossible to predict because we haven't been there before. But the potential and the likelihood could be calamitous. If we don't pay our bills, the impact on the domestic system, you say you're worried about your investments in the stock market, you have a right to be worried, and Americans have a right to be worried. We couldn't be funding Medicare, we wouldn't be paying our bills. That's never happened, and that's absolutely impossible to contemplate. Now, I must say, I was encouraged that Speaker Boehner, the House leader, has said that he wouldn't let that happen because it's really up to him to do that anyway to make sure that we don't default. And I certainly hope it's not going to happen, but if it did happen, it would be disastrous.
Well, one more question along these lines. You served as an ambassador. You've been Secretary of the Treasury. You've been a close observer of the whole systematic development from the 1960s all the way up to the current time. Have you ever seen such a confrontation, such bitterness between the two parties? It seemed like when you were in office, even Jimmy Carter, who had his ups and downs, that at least you could sit down and work out some kind of a compromise on some of these issues.
I'm very worried about the situation we're in at the moment. The answer to your question is no. We have never been in the kind of dysfunctional government situation in Washington as exists today. And it's very dangerous. We are coming out of a deep recession. We're gradually beginning to create more jobs. We're gradually increasing the growth of the economy. This is what we ought to be concentrating on. And that's only possible in our government, only possible if the two sides work together. They may have strongest agreements. That certainly was the case when I was in the Treasury. Before that, when I was in the State Department or working in the White House. But it was always possible for the president or for me and my job to sit down with members of the other party and to work out some kind of middle ground, some kind of deal. And that seems to be, at the moment, impossible. And it's the sooner we get back to that, the better. But by holding, trying to hold a gun to the head of one party and then saying, this is the way it has to be or else. That's no way to run this government and serve the people.
Well, I certainly agree with you. I think most of my listeners do, too. Let's talk about your book, if we can. And, Mr. Secretary, I've written several books. I have a publishing company. And you know, you can take one incident. You can talk about whether it be the coming death of John Kennedy. You can talk about the Berlin Wall. You can talk about this crisis going on in this country right now. And there's a lot of research that's fairly easy to do. When you do a biography or you do an autobiography, as you've done, where you talk about so many events. I mean, you've had such a fascinating life, including your exile from Nazi Germany and coming to this country as an immigrant. Tell me about the process of sitting down and saying, look, I've done some interesting things in my life. I think a lot of people would be interested in reading them. How do you pull it all together? I mean, you've bitten off a huge undertaking about writing about so many memorable events. How do you start? How do you get your teeth into something, a subject like that, of your living so many interesting times?
Well, it was a fascinating exercise. I started off with the proposition that the 20th century has had many ups and downs. Many wonderful things happened. And many terrible things happened, like two of the worst world wars in human history. Then I looked at my own life, and I saw it was about the same thing. I had a lot of periods in my life when times were very difficult, when I didn't have enough to eat, when there was a war, and it was a threat to my life. And at other times in this great country when I had enormous opportunities and was able to do some wonderful things and meet some wonderful people. And then I saw that all depends on who has his hands on the levers of power, who's in charge. That's both in the government as well as in the large corporations where I ran a couple of those. And so it all depends on people, that history is made by people. And it occurred to me that I had met a lot and I had learned a lot about leadership. I'd been a leader myself, but I worked for three presidents. I'd met state leaders in other countries. But that's really what makes the difference, and that's what my own experiences with a lot of stories of those that I met and what they did, the good ones and the bad ones. That's what I was going to write about, and that would explain my own life experience, but also explain the history of the 20th century. I worked long and hard on this, and I'm glad you like it, because I think it does tell the reader something about how events in this world take shape. And who makes the decisions?
Well, that was the point I wanted to make, was the fact that it's just not the story of this interesting character named Michael Blumenthal. You were Secretary of the Treasury. You've done some interesting things in your life, but your book paints a historic time. It's great history. You could take you out of the book, and there's marvelous history right there, and then you bring yourself into the book and give this overall perspective. And it makes it so interesting as a reader to take it all in and put it all together. Here's what I find interesting, too. You immigrated to this country, 1947, I believe. You're a new immigrant. And
right.
In a matter of 13 years, you're a senior advisor to the Kennedy administration, to the New Frontier. You came to America seeking an opportunity. You sure accomplished a lot in that first 13 years. Or did you get formal education in this country, or how did you move up the ladder so quickly?
Well, I think it's a tribute to this country. I arrived in 47, 21 years old, with $60 in my pocket. What was I able to do? I had a 10th grade education when I arrived. Never finished high school. So I was able to go back to school, not having any money, working my way through school. And why was that? Because the community college I went to was free, and a great state university, the University of California in Berkeley, cost $35 a semester. And even
Mr.
I could
Secretary,
afford
could
that, but...
Mr. Secretary, could I just have you pause right there? We've got to take a mandatory break. I want to tell our listeners we're talking to Michael Blumenthal, the Secretary of the Treasury in the Carter administration. Fascinating new book of history called Exile to Washington, a memoir of leadership in the 20th century. You can find the book on our website at www.jimbrownusa.com. I want to continue the discussion for another segment with Secretary Blumenthal, so freshen up your coffee, and we'll come right back on the Common Sense Show.
You're listening. listening to Jim Brown's Common Sense, right here on the Genesis Communications Radio Network at GCNlive.com.
Quantitative easing, unemployment at depression levels, Europe financial system falling apart, China getting out of U.S. treasuries. At the end of 2008, the time of TARP, the national debt was at $11 trillion, gold trading around $850 per ounce. Close to 2012, the national debt exceeded $16.4 trillion, gold doubled to $1,600 per ounce. The $20 trillion threshold for the national debt is inevitable. Politicians in Washington have a ferocious appetite for spending and stimulus. What's worse, a printing press to finance. 100 years ago, we had a gold standard to limit this madness, but now you have to adopt your own gold standard. Don't be fooled with paper promises. Get Midas Resources 10 Reasons to Buy Gold free by calling 800-686-2237. Understanding the gold and silver market may be the only insurance you could have to avoiding the next economic crisis. Call 1-800-686-2237 and order your free copy. Again, that's 800-686-2237.
Hi, this is Steve Sanchez, and based on a recent study, it was found that 57 million Americans had legal issues over the last 12 months, but only 60% of those studied sought out the services of a lawyer. Why? In a nutshell, affordability. Well, my friends at Legal Shield have created a solution that can help you not if, but when you need an attorney. For as little as $17 per month, Legal Shield will provide you unlimited access to qualified attorneys at an accomplished law firm for advice and counsel on legal issues, no matter how serious or trivial. For over 40 years and with 1.4 million families across North America, Legal Shield can help you, the loyal GCN listener. Representatives are standing by now to answer your questions, so call them now at 1-855-340-SAVE. That's 1-855-340-7283, or visit them at lsprotection.com. That's lsprotection.com.
It's time for a home security quiz. What effective home security device is smaller than a coffee cup, fakes out burglars into thinking someone is home at your house while you're away, plugs into any wall outlet, is recommended by many police departments, and sells for less than $30? Yes, it's fake TV. This year, about one in every 50 U.S. homes will have a break-in, with burglars usually picking the easy target, a dark house that looks like no one is home. Fake TV is a small electronic security device that makes it look like someone is home watching TV by simulating the light from a real TV. Fake TV could be the difference between coming home to a secure house or one that's been ransacked. To get your fake TV for only $29.95 with free shipping, go to faketv.com or call 1-877-5-FAKE-TV. That's 877-532-5388 or go to faketv.com. Fake TV, the burglar deterrent.
Weakened by GMOs, stressed out about money, and blasted by the electric environment. Hi, I'm Pastor Jenny, and that was the state I was in back in 2010. Then I learned about RNA drops. I learned that 97% of my DNA that scientists have called junk is actually packed with millions of gene switches that play a critical role in controlling how my cells, organs, and other tissues behave. I learned I don't have to put up with disease, decay, or decline like I'd been conditioned to believe. I began taking RNA drops, a 100% natural formula designed to turn on those switches and provide me with amazing health and joy. Learn more about RNA drops and order a free sample today. Visit rnafreesample.com. That's rnafreesample.com. Or call toll-free 888-577-3703. Pay only shipping and handling for a free 30-day supply of RNA drops. Get the information you need and the health you want at rnafreesample.com.
The GCN Radio Network, providing the world with hard-hitting talk radio. GCN. Great talk radio starts here. Welcome back to Jim Brown's Common Sense. Now, here's your host and professor of thinkology, Jim Brown.
We're talking about history, the last 60, 70 years of history with Michael Blumenthal. He's the former Secretary of the Treasury. Got a great book out called From Exile to Washington. A Memoir of Leadership in the 20th Century. And you can find it on our website at www.jimbrownusa.com. Mr. Secretary, my sister is a hoarder. She doesn't throw anything away. She's kept every issue of Look magazine and Life magazine and Time magazine for many years, and she knew you were going to be on the show because it's been on my website. She says, I got a copy of Time magazine in 1978, and on the cover is Treasury Secretary Blumenthal. Has there ever been a Secretary of the Treasury on the cover of Time magazine? I've never seen one before. You must be the only guy. You were pretty important at that time.
I don't know about that. The reason I was on the cover, because there was a lot of problems, economic problems, in the country at that time. Remember, we had long gas lines and we had inflation rising, so there were a lot of problems. So I guess I was in the hot seat, so they put me on the cover. But it may have happened before. The point though of the whole book is that it's this country that gave me the opportunity to develop my talents and to move along, and that's what we ought to be doing now. It's education that's important. Costs too much these days. It's more and more difficult. So what I was trying to tell the people in my book is that if you work hard and if you have the opportunity and the environment is right, you could do great things in this country.
Well, you've certainly done so in a very eloquent way. Now, let me ask you this. This is between you and me. I won't tell anybody, but it's pretty cool to have your name on money. I mean, you pick up back then, you're the Secretary of the Treasury, so your name. Did you ever have any fun doing that with your grandkids or something to say, hey, you better spend that money wisely. I'll take my name off of it or something like that. That's got to be pretty cool to have your name and all the money, huh?
It certainly is, and I wouldn't hide the fact from you that I was pretty thrilled and proud to see that. And let me tell you, I still have a lot of those bills. They're obviously out of circulation now. You find them every once in a while. You can still spend them if you get them. But I have a lot of them, and not a week goes by then somebody doesn't send me one of those bills that he saved and asked me to sign it. And I always, on top of my printed signature, my real signature, in pen and ink, and I always do that, and it's a great thrill, obviously. It's a great pride to have served in this very senior job. Wasn't always easy, but that was one of the privileges and the wonderful things that happened.
Well, in your book, you recount so many experiences of so many great leaders, whether it be John F. Kennedy, Hubert Humphrey, Lyndon Johnson, Jimmy Carter, national foreign leaders that you came into contact with in China, Brezhnev in Russia. I can go on and on. Give us one of the more memorable characters on the world stage that you had a chance to relate to and work with.
Well, there are a good many of them, and I talk about some of them in the book. The Chinese ones are the ones that really interested me a lot and gave me a big thrill, because I was stuck in China for 8 years, locked up by the Japanese, and lived there in a country that was really in a big mess. And then when I was working for the government, I came back first to meet with the Prime Minister, Zhou Enlai, but then with the man who I think did more, even more than Mao, to make China into the kind of economic powerhouse it's become in the last 20 years. And his name was Deng Xiaoping. And the president sent me to negotiate with him on the reestablishment of diplomatic relations. So to sit there in the country where I'd spent 8 years, which I know pretty well, and to have this guy change the policy of China and explain to me how he was going to move China into the modern world, and to be there to witness that firsthand and to hear it and to discuss it with him and to discuss the reestablishment of our relationship for my country and China, that was one of the big thrills. And I've tried to tell that story in the book, of course.
Oh, very much so. So now, how did you find out you were going to be the Secretary of the Treasury? You'd been active as a major business leader, president of Bendix and a number of national corporations, so you had great business acumen and focus, but you also had all this extensive government experience going back into the 60s with Kennedy coming forward. How did you find out that you were going to be the Secretary of the Treasury? Did the president call you? Did somebody else call you? How did that happen?
Well, when Jimmy Carter was a candidate, he asked a number of economists with some government experience, which I had had working for President Kennedy and President Johnson, to come and advise them on the kind of policies they ought to follow. And for some reason or other, I was one of those, maybe 10 or 15 of us, who were invited a couple of times to him to come down to Georgia and talk to him, which we did, and I was thrilled to do it. Very interested to meet the guy who might become president. And then when he actually was elected, he called me one day and asked me to come down. I did. And he asked me whether I would work for him. I was absolutely dumbfounded when I said, well, what kind of a job have you got in mind? He said, well, in my cabinet. And that's exactly what happened. Now, I have to confess, I'm not being shy, but that was the biggest surprise of my life. I never expected this would happen, but obviously I was deeply honored and thrilled to do it. It wasn't an easy job, but I'll always remember it as one of the highlights of my life to have this opportunity to serve in the cabinet of my adopted country that has been so good to me, where I've had all of these great opportunities, now to give something back and to serve and do the best job I can and try to be, exert leadership in a positive way. Exactly what I'd learned throughout my career hasn't always been the case for others.
Well, you captured it very well in the book. One final question to you. Did Jimmy Carter just have some bad luck? I mean, the economy, the interest rates skyrocketed, and, of course, the Iranian controversy where, because of a windstorm, he wasn't able to have the military bring those hostages back. You think he just had some bad luck, or what's your view of Carter's presidency?
Well, I have a whole chapter in my book on the Carter administration, and basically what I say in this chapter, based on a lot of my own personal files, which are on file here at Princeton University, it was a combination. He sure had bad luck. For a president to be successful, he needs a certain amount of good luck. Timing's always important. But that is the entire story. It's also true that he made some mistakes, that often he was his own worst enemy. So it's a combination of things, like everything in life, You have a good luck or bad luck, but it's what you make of it. Minimize the fallout from bad luck and maximize the opportunity of good luck. And he wasn't always very successful in doing that. But it's bad luck in part, and it's some of the decisions he made that turned out to be the wrong one.
Well, you certainly turned on your luck and had a heck of a career, Mr. Secretary. A wonderful book. The book's called From Exile to Washington, A Memoir of Leadership in the 20th Century. I was fascinated by it. Great history on our website at www.jimbrownusa.com. Secretary Michael Blumenthal, thanks for spending some time with us today on the Common Sense Show.
It's been a pleasure to talk to you, Jim. Thank you very much.
Bye-bye. Interesting guy. Jewish immigrant who reached such success. I found the book fascinating. Going to come back and talk about Israel a little bit on the Common Sense Show. Freshen up your coffee, and I'll be right back.
You're listening to Jim Brown's Common Sense, right here on the Genesis Communications Radio Network at GCNLive.com.
If you're a contractor working at homes built before 1978, you could be fined. Fined up to $37,500. $37,500 per day per violation. If you're a landlord or property manager with rental properties, properties built before 1978, you too could be fined. Fined up to $37,500. $37,500. We're Kachina. Kachina Lead Paint Solutions. Helping contractors and landlords comply with the new lead paint laws. Avoid the penalties. If you work on pre-78 houses, you must certify your firm. You must be a certified renovator to test for lead paint. If positive, you must use lead safe work practices. You must keep a tight paper trail in case of an audit. This law is enforced by the EPA or your state. If you remodel or rent properties built before 78, call Kachina for free information and a free phone audit. Call 888-800-5224. 888-800-5224. KachinaLeadPaintSolutions.com. Call is free. The audit is free. 888-800-5224. Kachina Lead Paint Solutions.
To thank you for being a loyal listener, we have a limited-time freebie offer for you. Claim your free heirloom tomato seeds, just pay shipping, right now at 123freeseeds.com. These aren't ordinary seeds. These are heirloom, non-genetically modified super seeds that are open-pollinated and can be grown, harvested, and replanted endlessly. These survival seeds are actually more valuable than gold in a crisis. Go to 123freeseeds.com and you can get an airtight storage packet of 150 super seeds free while supplies last to say thank you for being a loyal listener. First come, first served. Just cover shipping. Go to 123freeseeds.com now to see if your free heirloom seeds are still available. That's 123freeseeds.com.
The National Preppers and Survivalist Expo, presented by Triton Shelter Technologies, is the only national event designated for the prepper community. October 19th and 20th at the North Atlanta Trade Center in Atlanta, Georgia. Admission is free, and the doors open at 9 a.m. Join us and learn life-saving tips that can help you and your family handle crisis situations. Special guests include Kevin O'Brien from Nat Geo's Doomsday Preppers, David Crawford, author of Lights Out, the director and cast members from the movie Lights Out Saga, and more. Special guest speakers include GCN's own Dr. Joel Wallach, along with Dr. Bones, Nurse Amy, and Tom Martin, the director of the American Preppers Network, two-time Field and Stream champion Chad Weatherford, along with many other leading experts from around the country. Join us for the country's largest emergency preparedness event, absolutely free, October 19th and 20th at the North Atlanta Trade Center in Atlanta, Georgia. For more information, visit npsexpo.com. That's npsexpo.com.
Every time you eat a cooked food, your body responds by producing an increase in circulating white blood cells. This happens because nature designed us to eat food that is undamaged at the molecular level. When we heat food to normal cooking temperatures, we change the shape of the molecules into shapes the body cannot use. The body now looks at them as toxins and allergens. In an effort to protect itself from this irritant, the body intelligently increases the amount of circulating white blood cells to act as garbage collectors. The white blood cells gobble up all the unusable damaged food particles to neutralize their cell damaging properties. This puts stress on your organs of elimination, and your body is subject to cell damage and inflammation. If you'd like to start experiencing the benefits of undamaged protein in your diet, give One World Way a try. It is a truly undamaged protein powder that will thrill your tastes and every cell of your body. Call 888-988-3325. That's 888-988-3325. Or visit oneworldwhey.com.
America's number one source for independent talk radio for over a decade. We are the GCN Radio Network.
Welcome back to Jim Brown's Common Sense. Now, here's your host and professor of thinkology, Jim Brown.
Well, the current Prime Minister of Israel, Benjamin Netanyahu, came to the United Nations last week and really brought down the hammer about, you know, there's been some thawing going on, it looks like, between Iran and the U.S., and the Prime Minister of Israel put some disparaging remarks on any trusting of such a relationship. There's been pretty much a freeze on the Palestinian solution that has tried to be negotiated for years and years and years. And I guess the question is there a middle ground solution for Israel and Palestine to try to bring some peace to that part of the world? And why should Americans care about Israelis and Palestinians living side by side? Joining me right now is Michael J. Cooper, Dr. Michael J. Cooper. He's an Israeli-educated physician. Written an interesting book about that part of the world called Foxes in the Vineyard. And you can find it on our website at www.jimbrownusa.com. Dr. Cooper, glad you joined us here on the Common Sense Show today.
Good morning, Jim. Thank you.
Let's put this in perspective, because there is so much going on in the world. We got this president who is for action in Syria, then not action in Syria, and the Middle East is hit up. And the Israeli-Palestinian problems that were front and center, let's say, 2 years ago, have kind of been pushed to the side because of the economy and because of what's happening in Syria. And so some Americans are saying, well, We're muddling too much in the Middle East. Why should the average American out there care about Israel and Palestine and whether or not they live side by side, whether there's two countries or one? Why is that important to the United States?
It's important, Jim, because what happens over there in the Middle East trickles back to us here in the United States. It's a very clear connection, a very bright line. I could hearken back to 9/11 even in regards to the effect that the sense of despair, the sense of hopelessness over there certainly affects everything about life here economically, in regards to how we parcel out aid, and in regards to even getting on an airplane. So there's a very clear effect that the world we live in has certainly gotten a lot smaller in many ways. And this is just one example of an area of the world that certainly has a large effect, for better and for worse.
Well, if we go back, say, into following World War II, 1947, the founding of Israel, I think the idea was that there was to be an Israeli state, those of Jewish descent or whoever, whatever the rules, once they were formed, the government could go to and live in peace. And then you got this West Bank problem where Israelis felt like that was their territory. Palestinians were living in that area. And so what's your thought today? It's confusing to me and to my listeners. Do you think today that there's a consensus among Israelis and Jewish Americans regarding Palestinian statehood? Should there be a separate state, one state, a split state? What is there any consensus on that issue?
Actually, there is, Jim. The consensus is actually very broad. And in a recent Pew poll here in the United States, Jewish Americans certainly felt to the tune of 83% that there was a real necessity of ridding Israel of the occupation that you referred to in the West Bank. Obviously, this is a difficult issue, and it goes back indeed, as you said, to 1947, 1948, when the UN partitioned what was then the British mandatory area of Palestine into a Jewish section and a Arab section. Clearly, the map, in looking back at that, was a little tortured to figure out exactly how to include different populations, and the war between the new state of Israel and the Arab nations, including those in the partitioned Palestinian portion, certainly no one was happy with it. And in the end, we were left after 1948 with the Israel that is referred to pre-67 Israel. That was a situation that existed for 18 years until 1967, at which point Israel conquered, among other territories, the West Bank, that then had belonged to the Hashemite Kingdom of Jordan, which had also appropriated it. So there have been a lot of flows back and forth here. The situation right now is that almost 50 years there has been an occupation of that area of the West Bank that includes such places as Bethlehem, where I'll actually be going to volunteer on a medical mission in about 3 weeks. And Ramallah, which is nominally the capital of the Palestinian Authority. But clearly this is a difficult occupation to maintain. And a lot of Israelis, and certainly a lot of American Jews, feel that from the standpoint of Israel in the position of occupier, it does nothing for Israel as a country from the standpoint of its moral fiber, as well as internationally. Indeed, without the support of the United States to the tune of $3 billion a year, Israel would really have a tough go of things. And certainly, that goes back to your first question. This also is why it should matter to us as Americans, because when we're basically promoting a situation that does really nothing for us internationally to the tune of $3 billion a year, which translates, by the way, to $8 million a day, that's money that certainly we could probably spend in a wiser way. And certainly to promote peace would be something better than this current stalemate that's gone on for almost half a century.
Well, no doubt about it. And the Palestinians, as I understand it, it's just not like they're interlopers who say, hey, there's a piece of land, let's go grab it. I mean, they have religious ties, as do the Israelis, to that particular sector of land that they operate. And Jerusalem's a divided city. And so, you know, I guess to the average observer who is not dug in because of a Jewish background or Jewish sympathies just still stay confused. So the phone rings, man. Mike, I want to get on to your book, but Doc, the phone rings, the president's on the line, and he says, look, I've read your book. I heard a lot about you. What are we going to do here, Dr. Cooper? Give me your scenario. If you could paint the picture and put a division there right now, would you kick the Palestinians out of the West Bank? Would you draw the line and say, look, we're going to leave them there, but we're not going to, in doing so, we're going to put up huge defenses for Israel so they're completely protected on the east side of the border? What would you suggest if you were asked like that by the president this morning? And he may call you. He listens to my show, I'm sure. So I'm sure he may call you after the show. But go ahead and tell me, what kind of response would you give, Doc?
Well, I'm looking forward to that phone call, Jim. And the three things that I would say is perspective of someone who lived in Israel for a lot of years and somebody who cares about Israel, as I do, and visit twice a year, I would say the following. Israel can do basically three things in order to move the process along very, very quickly. These are things that would not cost anything, and they basically would change the atmosphere entirely. Number one is to freeze the building and the expansion of settlements. That's something that, you know, clearly poisons the atmosphere, and it's like negotiating with somebody while you're eating a pizza, and you get down to the last piece of pizza, and while you're negotiating about it, you know, the other guy's eating the pizza. And there's that real...
So, Mike, what you're saying, in other words, no more building by Jewish citizens on the West Bank. Is that what you're saying?
Well, it's the government of Israel that's doing the building. And while they're negotiating to continue building on this disputed land, really sends a mixed message. On one hand, on the TV.
And Doc, let me stop you. Doc, let me stop you right here. I've got to take a mandatory break. We're talking to Dr. Michael J. Cooper. Got a great book out called Foxes of the Vineyard. We're going to come back and talk about. We're talking about this whole Israeli Arab problem and how we deal with it. Freshen up your coffee. This is Jim Brown. My website's www.jimbrownusa.com. We'll come back and talk to Dr. Cooper some more right after this message.
You're listening to Jim Brown's Common Sense, right here on the Genesis Communications Radio Network at GCNLive.com.
True or false? Some contractors do business illegally without even knowing it.
It's true. I'm Stephen Klein, chairman of NAPAC, the National Association of Professionally Accredited Contractors. We help contractors operate their businesses properly to avoid government or private fines and lawsuits.
So someone may think their contract is legal, but it may not be?
That's right. The laws constantly change and it's hard to keep up with. NAPAC constantly monitors the laws state by state. We have the documents contractors need to operate safe and sound.
Why not just go to a lawyer?
You could, but most don't understand how home improvement really works. At NAPAC, we have the forms, guides, and agreements contractors need, approved by the nation's top remodeling law firm.
And now NAPAC will review any home improvement contract for basic compliance for free?
Absolutely free, but for a limited time only.
Scan both sides of your contract and email it to info@napac.net. info@napac.net. For a free confidential contract review, info@napac.net.
You're the kind of person who makes smart choices and is always prepared. That's why the PrepMart.com is perfect for you. Cook a great backyard meal with steam in about an hour with the Can Cooker Jr. Normally $74, on sale now for just $64.95. It's great for camping and emergencies, and batteries are on sale. Up to 10% off our low prices right now at thePrepMart.com. Great customer service you can trust. Get prepared at thePrepMart.com. That's thePrepMart.com.
What if you had a witness everywhere you drive? Now you can with video-cam.com. From truckers to motorcyclists, the handy video dash cam can be used for insurance claims, accidents, police encounters, road rage, or natural disasters. Has instant screen playback and optional night vision. Get the best quality, affordable HD dash cameras available at video-cam.com. That's video-cam.com. Or call 855-855-2022. Always have a witness with video dash cam.
Great news, pure water lovers. BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com has a special discount offer for all GCN listeners. You can't do better than a Big Berkey for economy. For only 1.7 cents a gallon, a single set of filters can last for 5 to 10 years. There's none better than a Big Berkey for emergency preparedness as a backup water source. And you just can't beat a Big Berkey to remove dangerous chlorine, all types of fluoride, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, parasites, and unhealthy byproducts from municipal water. Berkey water filter systems are even powerful enough to purify stagnant pond water. For the gold standard in water filters, get a Big Berkey at BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. And all GCN listeners get 5% off all ceramic filter systems. For details, call 1-877-99-BERKEY. That's 877-99-BERKEY. Big Berkey Water Filters, for the love of clean water.
Ouch! My back is out again!
Hi, Dr. Ortman with Wellspring Spinal Care. If you're experiencing neck, mid, or lower back pain, this information is for you. One of the complaints that I hear is patients receive their typical adjustment, only having to repeat them as the pain returns. Putting the bones back in place is only half of the battle. At Wellspring Spinal Care, we have the entire solution. We use the NUCA approach, utilizing three-dimensional x-rays and gentle touch technology to deliver specific correction. We then design a custom nutritional supplement program which provides essential nutrients targeting the areas of concern. With a NUCA approach and proper nutrition, you'll be on your way to a faster and more permanent recovery. To get you on the road to wellness, visit drortman.com. That's drortman.com. Or call us today, 952-303-9124. That's 952-303-9124. Wellspring Spinal Care, chiropractic done right.
Are you tired of searching for great talk radio?
Something more important.
Search no more. We are the GCN Radio Network.
Welcome back to Jim Brown's Common Sense. Now, here's your host and professor of thinkology, Jim Brown.
Hey, glad you're with us. We're talking with Dr. Michael Cooper, author of the book Foxes in the Vineyard. We're going to talk about that shortly. It's on our website at www.jimbrownusa.com. We're talking about what do we do with Israel and the Palestinians and how to solve this problem, and going on for 50 years. And before the break there, Dr. Cooper, you said there were three things you would suggest to the president if he called you to solve this problem. Number one, tell the Israeli government, quit building anything more in the West Bank. That's number one. Give us the second two items that you would suggest.
Well, the second item would be to inform Prime Minister Netanyahu that according to Israeli law, there are illegal outposts throughout the West Bank, in addition to settlements that are, at least according to Israeli law, legal, not according to international law. But number two would be to dismantle those illegal outposts that are illegal according to Israeli law, according to the Israeli Supreme Court. That would be the second thing that I certainly would recommend be conveyed, because
you do that because it would give a sign to the Palestinians that, you know, you're trying to clean out the illegal settlements and trying to find some middle ground. Is that why you do it?
Absolutely. And it would, right. Because there's a dissonance right now. There's a real contradiction, because on one hand, when the Palestinian looks at the TV, they talk about the fact that Israel is paying lip service to the desire for peace, but then they look out the window and they see settlements spreading over the hills throughout the West Bank. And so it's this disconnect that really, really needs to be addressed. And by freezing the settlements and dismantling illegal settlements, that would be a situation that certainly would change the tone and, you know, create a sense of real positivity and hope that currently is lacking.
Right. And what would be your third solution, or your
third
suggestion?
Thing would be for the Israeli government to really establish a cabinet-level Ministry of Reconciliation, because these people are neighbors. In the past millennia, they have lived together as neighbors, and clearly, when you have dueling nationalisms and you have dispute over real estate, that obviously poisons relationships between, you know, neighbors in any, you know, town, and it certainly poisons relationships between peoples when it comes to these two dueling claims to this one piece of real estate in what is Israel and Palestine. So by creating a ministry of reconciliation, it would really create an opportunity for both economic, cultural, and social interaction between these peoples, and to also address the true grievance of a lot of Palestinians in regards to land that was lost for, both before 1967 and on the West Bank currently. And so that would I think, show those three things just alone, which could be easily done. They could be done tomorrow, and the atmosphere would immediately change to one where there would be a real infusion of hope rather than the current sense of despair.
Well, I think you've given some good suggestion trying to find that middle ground. Now, let's talk about your book, Foxes in the Vineyard. And you talk about the battle for Jerusalem. You bring in the Nazis. Interesting book here. You've gotten some awards for it. Why did you decide to write fiction? Because you've got your medical background and you know a lot of the history. Why did you decide to put the piece of fiction down on paper as you have?
Well, to answer that, I would quote the author Tommy Morrison, who said, if you are looking for a book theory that you can't find, then just write it yourself. And this is something that I wanted to create, both sort of an action-adventure novel that would be sort of reminiscent of Indiana Jones, and under cover of fiction to also bring in a message. And so this is not just historical fiction, it's also an allegory. And it basically uses the specter of the Nazis after World War II, who, according to this scenario, had been infiltrated into what was then British Mandatory Palestine in order to create tension between the Jews and Arabs at that time and to push them towards war as well as push the British out to create a new capital for the Third Reich. That's sort of the underpinning of the book, and again, it is an allegory.
Well, it's interesting, though, as a tie in terms of laying a foundation for where we're going here today, and the great mystery. I enjoyed it. I read it over, and I've read a lot about World War II and the Third Reich and the woulda, coulda, shoulda, what they could have done, what could have happened, and so it's fascinating to fill in some of the battles for ideals that you so forcefully put out in your book right there. You got a second book in mind here, Doc? You're a busy guy, you travel to Israel several times a year. You've got your practice. What else are you looking on as far as being an author?
Well, I have another book coming out next year. It's called The Rabbi's Night, and it's set in the 13th century at the twilight of the Crusades. It's about a knight of the Crusades who apprentices himself to a rabbi to learn how the secrets of the Temple Mount can be unlocked through the secrets of Kabbalah. It's actually also very historical and again deals though with the Crusades and the history at that time. And ultimately both books are allegories, because what I'm looking for is as I mentioned before, I'm going to be visiting Bethlehem in a few weeks, and that's certainly the birthplace of the Prince of Peace. And I would very much like to see, as somebody who loves Israel and who lived in Israel for many years, a true peace descend over that part of the world. And what we need to do in that context is to sort of marginalize those who promote hatred, those who promote suspicion and fear. And so doing, we can, you know, create the atmosphere for a real peace. And again, as it says in Matthew 5:9, blessed are the peacemakers. And I'd like to see more of that, both in Israel and in Palestine and throughout the world.
Isn't it just phenomenal that in Palestine, in Israel, but particularly Palestine, Bethlehem, you mentioned, that not only do you have this pull based on historic ties from both Jews and Palestinians, but you have the birth of Christianity right there. It's almost like this is a focus of the lightning rods for so much of history, affecting hundreds of millions of people, all coming out of this piece of sand out in the middle of the desert that is not worth much at all as far as land, but has sure had such a huge impetus on the whole flow of history. It's just amazing, isn't it?
It truly is. And it goes back to your first question, Jim, in regards to, you know, why we in the United States should care about what goes on there. And it indeed, it trickles back to us, both for ill as well as for good. And certainly the messages of peace that came out of that part of the world also is something that I would hope would be pervasive throughout the world.
Well, you got a great book there, Doc, and I wish you well in your contributions you're making in going over and providing medical care to Israel. The book, again, is called Foxes in the Vineyard, Dr. Michael J. Cooper. It's won a number of awards. You can find out all about the book on our website at www.jimbrownusa.com. Hey, Doc, good luck to you. We'll look forward when that next book comes out to talk to you on the show again.
Look forward to that, Jim. Thank you very much.
Take care and good luck to you. Interesting guy, Dr. Michael Cooper, about, and you know, I found interesting, you know, some, and I've got a number of friends who are so pro-Israel, that they don't want to talk about the middle ground, as it seems the present prime minister, Netanyahu, did when he went to the UN here last week. But Dr. Cooper says, look, we got to find a balance, a middle ground right here. We got to draw the line. Reasonable people can sit down and find that common ground. And he gave out some pretty good suggestions, quite frankly. So I was impressed with what he had to say and how he set that all out. But, and I raise that question again for those of us who, whether we're Christian, whether we're Jewish, whether we are Muslim, that so much of the focus of that world events involving great happenings, involving massive hatred and violence that most recently found their ways after 9/11 and the confrontations going on in the Middle East today. So much of the foundation of all that violence, highs and lows, good and bad, ups and downs, emanate from a small piece of fairly worthless sand, no oil and gas over there, in a country called Israel that was founded after World War II by Winston Churchill and Harry Truman and Joseph Stalin, carving out this little country in the sand for the Jewish population to have their own. And yet they went to an area that has massive implications for Arabs, for Christians, when we talk about Bethlehem and Jesus Christ. Just unbelievable, all in such a small part of the world. Interesting topic, things we like to talk about here on the Common Sense Show. Hey, did you enjoy the show today? Did you have a good show today? What do you think? Well, that's kind of a sporadic applause. Listen, glad you joined us here. My website, www.jimbrownusa.com. You can sign up for regular newsletters to hear all about our guests on the show. You folks have a great week. We'll see you next week, same time, here on the Jim Brown Common Sense Show. Take care.
You're listening to Jim Brown's Common Sense, right here on the Genesis Communications Radio Network at GCNLive.com.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. If you'd like to listen to GCN programs on the go, I have great news. GCN has created a Droid and iPhone application, and it's free. Just as easy as going to GCNLive.com, click on the banner, and download. Before you know it, you'll be listening to your favorite hard-hitting GCN shows, live or on demand, right on your Droid or iPhone, 24/7 and on the go. So download the Droid and iPhone app free by clicking on the banner at GCNLive.com. Thanks again for listening to GCNLive.com. Again, that's GCNLive.com.
We the people grow cotton, weave fabric, engrave ink, embed strips and fibers to protect from counterfeit and carting to a private bank, having it lent back at interest, forcing taxes to service debt. This capitalism, or was Jefferson correct when stating a central bank issuing the public currency is a greater menace to the liberties of the people than a standing army? Ted Anderson, I'm placing a free silver dollar in a book that explains our monetary system. Call for your copy, 800-686-2237. It's time to understand the system. Call 800-686-2237. That's 800-686-2237.
Hello, I'm Steve Shank. Everybody's heard the statement that what you don't know can't hurt you. But truth is, what you don't know is the only thing that can hurt you. For example, you might not know how our country's wars can hurt you. Japanese radiation and the Gulf oil spill are destroying your seafood. People don't understand how America's 50-year worst drought is hurting them. Our natural disaster experience has proven relief organizations can't take care of the victims. And there's the huge question of how the government will feed all the people that it's promised to feed with no food. What if we made the whole country into one big neighborhood where we take care of each other by taking care of ourselves? Here's the plan. For every new E-Patch 60-day food supply that you order, eFoods Direct will send a 7-day food supply to each of two families in your name, free of charge. Go to eFoodsDirect.com or call 800-876-0871. 800-876-0871. eFoodsDirect.com.